I can be in all places at all times. I was and am to come. I've been there, and I've been here, and I'm going to be there when you get there. So don't worry about anything. I know what's to come. I have everything in control. I have the whole world in my hands. I can take care of all things at all times. And whatever you need, just ask and believe in your heart. Seek my face. Seek my understanding. Seek my wisdom, my knowledge. Because my ways are better than your ways. And I can do all things. You know I can do all things. You know I have been faithful. Yes. I am faithful to the very end. I'll bring you across to the other side. And you'll look back one day and say, Lord, it truly was a wonderful journey on this path into you. So just keep coming into my presence and just keep receiving my glory. Keep receiving everything that I have for you because I have an abundant supply. I have more than enough to see you through. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. Put your trust in me and I'll bring all things to an end. Seek my face and you will see me. Seek my glory and I will fill you to overflowing. I will give you an abundance of joy and abundance of my peace and my grace. I am here for you. And I'll always be here. Just reach out to me and receive what I have. It is more than enough. You'll see.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah,
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. 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 You're more than enough, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
You are more than enough.
Thank
you,
Jesus.
You are all that we need. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank
Hallelujah,
you,
Jesus. There's
you
no
are
need,
all
Jesus.
That we need.
Hallelujah,
all
Lord.
For.
Hallelujah. There is nothing
imagine,
we need,
Lord.
Jesus. There is nothing we need because you've already provided. You've
you,
already
God.
Provided it for us, Lord. We you receive it. We receive it. We thank you for it, Jesus. You are so trustworthy, Lord. We put our trust in you. You will see us to the end, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. I guess he really meant it when he said, he who has begun a good work in you will keep it to the end. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you for that good work that you are doing. It's not in us, Lord. It's not. Not anything that we have done, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Give you
Hallelujah.
Praise. Give you praise, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I know that's one of those ones where we're supposed to do warfare with that. So we'll have that to read and look at in days ahead. But right now, while it's fresh in our heart, if you know that you're supposed to do warfare with that, would you just come and stand right here as a witness in your spirit? Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. We just worship you, Jesus. You are the great I Am. You are the provider. You are the omnipotent one. You're the one that we stand in faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. We glorify you. Hallelujah. We just give glory to you, Jesus. We receive this grace. Hallelujah. We do warfare in this grace, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We break all the powers of the enemy, Lord, off of our life through the word spoken. Hallelujah, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. The great is enough. Great. You're great, Lord. Hallelujah. More than enough. More than enough, Jesus. More than enough. Hallelujah. You're more than enough. More than enough. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we just worship you. We just continue to speak life over this mind. Ooh, Jesus, release. Hallelujah. Glory. Healing. Manifestation of your glory, Jesus. Continual manifestation of your glory, Jesus. Release. Oh, Jesus. More and more and more and more and more. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Glory, 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 glory. Father, we thank you. Oh, we're more than conquerors through you, Jesus. Hallelujah. More than enough. More than enough. Hallelujah. You have supplied more than enough. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. We glorify you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We glorify you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We do warfare. Every one of us together, Lord, we do warfare in this in the name of Jesus. As a sharp two-edged sword, we thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let this anointing rest upon you in Jesus' name. Use it. Use it wisely in Jesus' name. Let this anointing rest upon you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for this sword of the Spirit. We just take this sword of the Spirit, this rhema word right now. We cut off all of the enemy. We thank you, Lord, on every side that you've went in front of us. You've gone in front of us, Lord. We release the life and grace and glory. Jesus, more than enough. You're more than enough, Jesus. You're more than enough. Hallelujah, Jesus. We glorify you. We glorify you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, fill in, Lord. Let the life and the grace of God be more than enough. Come on, oh Father. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Your grace. Jesus in glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. We war in you, Lord. Hallelujah. Makala sola creste, diatala brosola creste. Oh, that which has begun a good work in you is able to complete it in the day of your redemption in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. He that has begun a good work, Lord. Hallelujah. Finish this good work, Lord. Finish this good work. Take it to the next place. Take it to the next place. Jesus, take it to the next place. Hallelujah. Would you just make a sound with your voice and just begin to worship Him and thank Him. I glorify you, Jesus. I worship you. Thank you, Jesus. We exalt you. I glorify you. You're so worthy, Jesus. Hallelujah. I exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I worship you. Said, take all the whole armor of God, that you may stand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. Having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of truth, how like a gospel of peace. I'm somewhere out there. Above all, taking the shield of faith, but which is. Shield of faith. It's you speaking the word of God. But when he said, take unto you the sword of the Spirit, he identified it, said it's the word of God, but it was not the Logos word. It's the Rhema word. It says, take unto you the Rhema word, which is the sword of the Spirit, which means it is the present tense. Speaking mind of Christ for the very moment. And when it speaks like a clap of thunder. It's a lightning strike that splits the atmosphere and absolutely breaks the atmosphere. That's what the sword of the Spirit is. The Logos is the shield of faith. But the sword of the Spirit is the Rhema of God. It's the present. So when prophecy came and spoke, so he's just teaching you. Then your action or interaction with it, with the sword of the Spirit, caused something to happen in grace and peace and life and a transference. But He said for you to take that to you. So that's something that you can walk in on a continual basis. Hallelujah. I mean, they don't know. You're sitting there with them. And everybody's arguing at the table. They've got a... It's a family matter, or it's a bunch of businessmen, or it's a, you know, it's a bunch of ladies sitting around having tea and gossiping. No, you wouldn't be there, except that you zone out. See, if you don't get it, if you don't let them pull you in, if you'll zone out every once in a while, check with headquarters. See what He has to say. And what He wants usually to do is, in all environments, He wants you to have an effect. And you don't have to make an announcement like, oh, wait a minute, I got something coming here. They'll think you're crazy. And you don't have to go to Ephesians 6 and tell them, oh, did you guys know that you just got the sword of the Spirit slashed you up? But down the road, they'll leave there and they'll say, that was the only sensible thing that was said in the whole conversation. Everything else was stupid. Everything else was just a bunch of chatter. But what was it that He said? What was it that they said? It was the direct Word of God. It was weighty. It was the sword of the Spirit. It'll cut down into people's lives. It'll bring conviction. It'll bring power. It'll begin to change their life. The main thing is, it's like one of those oriental death blows. You strike now and you get down the road, they don't know that they're bleeding inside. The sword of the Spirit is... That's what it splits. It's like an atom bomb going off. It cuts. Praise God for the sword of the Spirit. Hallelujah. We welcome it in our services, Father. We welcome it in our personal lives. Join us at our meeting houses, and join us at our noontime meals. Join us, Lord, continually, like Jesus walked continually with the sword of the Spirit. That's why the Pharisees could not trump His power, because He spoke with the sword of the Spirit. Lord, place Your sword of the Spirit ever increasing upon our tongue, we pray. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. 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 How many was filled, do you think, Sunday night? There's a 8 or 9 more teenagers were filled Sunday night. Isn't that wonderful? Well, I think, and I know you want to do this, I think to give adequate glory, we need to just stand and lift our hands. Because that's 8 or 9 kids that have received. Father, we just give You all the glory. Thank You for the baptism of the Holy Ghost on top of the new nature. We love You, Jesus. We thank You that that'll change. That'll start, Lord, ever-increasing change in their life. And we give You all the praise and all the glory and all the honor for it. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. Praise God. I understand the more accurate count, it was 11 that was filled. Isn't that great? Hallelujah. So we just give all the glory to God. Hallelujah. Why don't you turn to the last chapter of the last book? All right. Let's figure out how all this ends up. I'm ready for it to end up. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. And go ahead and hold that place. And then I think what I really want to do is also have you kind of hold that place and turn back to Ephesians and look at the second chapter with me for just a moment. All right. If you'll stretch your faith this way and kind of help me, I'd appreciate it so much. Father, every moment of every service, we're involved. You're involved. I love You. I receive from You. Thank You for their prayers. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Why don't we look to start with Ephesians, and we'll go to the back of the book. Verse 1, and we're just going to read through verse 6, and it says, "You, and you hath he quickened, who are dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all," Paul includes himself, "had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved." Hallelujah. That's the most amazing thing to me, is that how God could cross that place of spiritual void. We had nothing to bargain with, and even when we were dead in our sins, He's quickened us together in Christ. But verse 6 says, "And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Glory to God. Aren't you glad? I mean, really, really glad that we're seated together, he says, in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come, now look at this, because we're about to read about the age to come, something that is coming down the road. "That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in the kindness towards us through Christ Jesus." Hallelujah. Amen. Now turn to Revelation 22. I knew the Holy Spirit was leading, as He always confirms in so many different ways. But when the prophecy came concerning God saying that He was the God that was and is to come, and whatever order He said that, but that He was every place at once, and He was out in front of us, He's with us now, and He's out in front of us. Hallelujah. So this particular scripture here will entail much of that, but I want us to look, we may start, because it's all one continuous letter, a little bit back in chapter 21. 21:22 says, and of course this revelation is a wrapping up, and John said, "I saw no temple." We'll back up a little bit more. 21 says, "And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was of pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? You know what that means. It means there's no church building in heaven. Isn't that great? He says here, there was no temple therein. There's no church building in heaven. The whole thing, he says, the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Hallelujah. There's no official church, temple, assembly place. He is that temple. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Are you excited? And the city, because this is where we're going, people. "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of the Lord did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." Hallelujah. Just to be in His presence. Hallelujah. "And all," or the nations of them which are saved, "shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it." I mean, you could meditate these words for years and keep just getting more fatter in the spirit. "And the nations," he says, "and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh an abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. And He showed me pure river of water of life. Oh, hallelujah. This is where we're headed. But if we go back to Ephesians, this is also where we're at. Think of it for just a minute. Now, everybody just think about what I just said, because this is where He really wants you to take the gravity of this whole exhortation here is, this is the age to come. And in Ephesians that we just read, He said that He wants to show us His exceeding kindness in the age to come, but He said that we're seated with Christ in a heavenly place. Now, it's describing to us this heavenly place that is to come, but spiritually speaking, and we're going to say much more about that in just a moment, but spiritually speaking, this place that it's describing in all of its splendor, in all of its glory, in all of its separation from darkness, this is the place that we have been declared to be presently at in our spirits, seated together with Him in heavenly places. And He said in verse 2 of chapter 22, in the midst of the street of it, well, again, let me just start with one. And He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb. Now, let's just take a moment and role play this, or rather imagine this. I mean, whatever your imagination is capable of, just we're not going to be able to do it any justice. But this river of life flows out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, and it's continuous. And where it starts at is from them, and it just flows out of them. Now, I'll go to the Smokies every once in a while, the mountains, and there's certain rivers there that I like to hike up the mountain, and there are streams that I go to, and I've seen them low, but I've never seen them without water, that they weren't flowing. And the most amazing part to me is, even when it's not raining, or even when I'm not seeing the rain, I mean, maybe there's rain earlier before I get there, but there's a continual cascade of water coming from, obviously, the top of the mountain. And it's like, okay, now, if you keep going up to the top, where do you go? I mean, you just go to the top. So where's this water coming from? I mean, you can say, well, it's springs, it's this, that, and the other, but sometimes there's no way that just a single spring. And it's just amazing to me that it's like, I know that the vegetation and other little tributaries, I know there's a logical, but it's like this is coming from somewhere, just like it's being made out of heaven. Because if you keep going, and some of those mountains I've never gone to the top of them, but it's like, where does this water come from? Well, here in heaven, this river of life that it's describing is coming right out of the throne. And it says, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree, singular, the tree of life. And it says, this tree was on either side of the river, the tree of life. Now, it says singular tree of life because this tree of life is one tree, but it's on both sides of the river. Now, if I go to an orange grove, I say, there's 100 orange trees, they're individual trees, and that's here on the planet. They're all their individual trees, but there's one tree. Its genetics is perfectly the same. It's the tree of life. And it's on either side of the river. And this is the amazing part. There's so many different things about heaven. We just can't wait till we get there. I just can't wait till I get there to partake of it and to see its splendor. But in that time to come, where just around the corner, there's this tree of life, and it says, which bear, this tree of life, bear 12 manner of fruit. Now, this is impossible in this life. How many of you ever seen a tree that bore anything other than the fruit that it was made to bear? This tree bears, whether it's all spiritually speaking, or physical and spiritual, it bears 12 fruit, it says. This one tree. And look at this. This is amazing. And it yieldeth her fruit every month. Now, this is in a timeless dispensation, and yet it's describing that there's some rotation of bearing that this tree comes into a continual each month bearing this fruit. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now, this is amazing to me, and I love this, because the contemplation of heaven is continuous. It's a continual, you could just lose yourself in the contemplation of where we're going. But, please remember this, that's where we're already at. That's where we're already at. And for us to say that, we don't get the gravity of it. We really don't get the gravity of it. It sounds like a cliche, and it sounds like a good, ooh, knock them in the creek, Pastor. Give them the old college try. That's the way to do it. Give us the encouragement. Yes, we're seated. Until you really see that your prototype lived his life with this actuality in his life. It was not a stereotype to him. It was a reality. It was a perfect reality. And the only reason why we're spending some time here is to say, this is where he lived, this is where we're going, but this is also where we're supposed to be living out of presently. I love this part. And the leaves of the tree, this tree of life, were for the healing of the nations. We got all these nations coming in. Now, who needs healing in heaven? But this is not a healing on top of hurt, like I'm carrying around a big hole inside of me and heaven hasn't healed me yet. This is like the best that I can describe, and I do it no justice, this is only what I can imagine, is that when you're in the, let's say, the effervescent, I mean, it's just, it's like springtime glory to your spirit. And one wave of glory touches your spirit, like such as tonight, maybe many of you felt that, and you think you can go no higher in God until God comes with another wave, and it's like, oh my God, that wave replaced the last one and brought me to a place where I didn't even know. He's so continuous, and he's so far reaching, and he's so far out there that he's inexhaustible. You just can't exhaust him. And the fact of the matter is, this healing of the nations has to do something with not a healing exactly like we think of healing, but it has to be something in a mannerism of going from glory to glory to glory to glory. It's like the partaking of it takes him to another place of his presence continually. My God, I want to be there tonight. Hallelujah. And it says there will be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Is there a tattoo there? I don't know. Or is it a spiritual? When you look at it, the brand of who he is and everything that he shines for is christened inside you, or christened on your forehead. And there shall be no night there, and no candle, no light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Well, I wouldn't blame him. I mean, there's such glory that's being given by this angel. It's hard to recognize up or down, east or west. You're just caught up in glory. So he falls down, and then the angel said unto me, he said, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. Hallelujah. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Now, it's hard for us to imagine, but in God's economy, all of this is taking place when this revelation, the revelation of Jesus, is given to John. The present tense mind speaking of God is like, this is now. Because with God, 1,000 years is a day, and a day is 1,000 years. And God is looking at this like, this is Joel being prophesied. This is Joel being fulfilled. In the last days, I will pour out of my Spirit. So this is all just a tiny sliver of time that we're living in. And God is, in all of His reality and everything that God sees, He sees that this whole thing for mankind is being wrapped up. From Christ till now, it's no matter how much we think that God is enduring and He is enduring for salvation, for the souls of men, in all reality, this thing is present tense. He said in verse 11, "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still." Does that mean don't evangelize? No. But He said, "He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still." He's talking about the culmination of all this is at hand. It's coming to an end, and it's so close that things are going to be as they are. They're going to be sealed off as they are. He said, "Let him be holy still." And verse 12, He says, "And behold, I come quickly." I believe it, Jesus. I will not argue with You. I believe it. "And my reward is with me." Well, you know what the greatest reward is? He Himself. That's Him. He is the crown. "To give to every man according to his work shall be. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do His commandments, and they, for they shall have the right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without, now look, for without are dogs." Now, this isn't talking about your puppy dog that you love so good, so much. Your lap dog or your 150-pound pit bull or your hound dog, Duke, that you love. This is a demeaning mongrel of society spirit that has detached humanity away from the cross, blinded the eyes, and taken them out of this beauty of holiness that is described here. It says, "For without our dogs, sorcerers, the whole manipulation and witchcraft of everything that mankind come under during the dispensation after the cross to this closing," He says, "For without are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, those that defile themselves immorally among mankind, murderers," that's haters and destroyers of lives, "adulterers," those who run after anything other than God, "and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie," meaning God is the truth, Jesus is the faithful witness of the truth, and He said these are without. Now, He is talking about that these will be forever separated from the light of that city, incarcerated into an eternal judgment. But He's also, I believe you'll see, saying that these things are presently, and we would all have to agree with this, none of this is in that holy place. It is without. It is outside of it. But let's look at looking, or you can hold your place there because we may read that verse again. But this will be quick, and this is familiar, so it's easy. Let's look at John chapter 3. Some of the most simplest, as we would think, or the most foundational scriptures in the Word of God. John chapter 3, and of course, this is Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus, the Pharisee. Now, I might as well begin reading in verse 1 because it won't take that long to get where I'm going. Verse 1 of chapter 3, this is of Jesus and Nicodemus, of course, as I said. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher which come from God. And the reason why he knew this was what confirmed Jesus. No man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So, Jesus was a teacher, but he backed up what he taught with power. Hallelujah. So that's what we're after. We're after looking at going into God that our words are backed up with power. Hallelujah. Thank you for the love walk. Jesus answered and said unto him, Truly, truly, that is verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Wow. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born? And every mother in him says, Oh my God, no. And Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, he's got to be born in the first birth, the natural birth, and then of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. In other words, works can't do it. Citing a creed cannot do it. There has to be a transformation in the Spirit. There has to be a birth in the Spirit. Then Jesus very specifically said, That which is born of flesh is flesh, meaning your mom and dad gave you your first birth. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. In other words, the Holy Ghost must birth your spirit. You're born again, new, recreated in Christ, born again spirit. He pleaded with him, Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, where it desires, or where it is going. And thou hearest the sound thereof, but you cannot tell where it cometh or where it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. In other words, the wind covers the earth. You see the effects of it. You don't know where it's coming from. You don't know where it's going. But you know, in effect, it has come and gone. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. It is as this. This is when any man on planet earth cries out, Christ, come into my life. And he's born of the Spirit. It doesn't matter where he's at. It doesn't matter if he's on the North Pole, South Pole. As the wind covers the earth, the Holy Ghost is there to birth. He's there to birth. And that effectual change takes place. And you see the effects thereof. Nicodemus saith unto him, or answered and said unto him, How can these things be? I mean, he's really, of course, he's not born again. So he's having a hard time. Of course, Nicodemus became born again later after the cross. But Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? I mean, he's kind of ribbing him now. Saying, you know, you're a doctor of the law and you don't know this? Okay. All right, Jesus, get on with it. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, truly, truly, I say unto thee, we speak that we know and testify that we have seen, and you receive it not. You receive not our witness. If I've told you earthly things, in other words, if I told you about the wind and you believe it not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Nicodemus, you cannot know spiritual things because you don't understand, because you're not yet born again. And listen, Nicodemus, and he doesn't just throw this inadvertently. He's describing the spiritual realm that he's trying to tell Nicodemus that he lives in. And he's trying to tell the spiritual realm that every born-again believer is supposed to see themselves in. Nicodemus, you don't understand this. But this is how everybody that is born of the Spirit is. As the wind bloweth where it listeth, you can't see where it comes or goes. But so is everyone that's born of the Spirit. Oh, Nicodemus, you don't understand this, do you? But if I'm telling you earthly things, you don't understand it, then how can I get over to you heavenly things? I can't get over to you heavenly things. But he said, Nicodemus, no man has ascended up unto heaven. Stop right there. And he said, look, no man has gone up to that place. No man. Okay? So you could research. You could look in the Old Testament. New Testament was not yet written. Elijah being caught up. Elijah caught up in different ones in the old Enoch that was translated that he should not see death because he had this testimony that he walked with God, he pleased God. All of these arrived in one place in which the Word describes in later Scripture, which was Abraham's bosom, a holding place until Ephesians 4 comes along and Jesus goes into captivity and leads captivity captive and takes dominion and leads that bunch up to Christ, up to God. Now, no man had ascended. They could not, because they could not enter in to the spiritual gate. They could not enter into that city. But Jesus is saying this. He's identifying himself. And he's wanting Nicodemus to know, Nicodemus, I'm the prototype about what all this is about and what all I'm describing to you. All this wind stuff, that's really me. Because the reason why I can tell you that is because he says, no man has ascended up into heaven. Nobody's been able to go there. Nobody, Nicodemus. But he that came down from heaven, that's me. I'm the one that came down from heaven. And the reason why you know that he says that he is the one that came down from heaven, and he's not talking about Moses or Elijah or anybody else. He said, even the Son of Man, which Jesus was called, the Son of Man, which is in heaven. So he does a number of things there. He identifies that he's talking about himself. He says, nobody's gone up there. But when he says, but he that came down from heaven. So when he says, but, it's also the word except. Meaning this, Nicodemus, nobody's gone up there except one. And the one that's gone up there is the one that's came down from there. And he identifies and he says, the Son of Man. Now he did not say the Logos, because he is Logos standing there. But he distinctly says the Son of Man, identifying with his humanity, identifying with his, we call it new nature. For him, it was the new nature, but it was the spirit of life, because he didn't get born again in the sense at that point he was born with a spiritual life in him. But here's Christ standing here and saying this, Nicodemus, there's only, nobody's going up there except one. Now, wait a minute. Jesus, you don't make your ascension unto heaven for another 3 years. You're just starting your, you don't make your physical ascension into heaven. And yet you're telling me one has. And you tell me who that one has. You're telling me that one man has already ascended to that place. And you're telling me it's you? That's right. And you're telling me it's not the Logos that has ascended, it's your humanity that it's ascended? That's right. I'm telling you, the Son of Man, which is not going to be, but presently in heaven. Presently in heaven. Now, Jesus did not make an ascension in his life. He did not make an ascension into heaven physically until after the cross. But yet he's saying here that he's already ascended to the Father and he's there in heaven. What is he talking about? He's talking about the same place that Ephesians talks about, that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. He's saying, in my human spirit, my spirit that is baptized in the Holy Ghost, he had already been baptized in the Holy Ghost. He was born with a new nature. But he later became baptized with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost connected Jesus with heaven's atmosphere in the same way that you and I are connected in the reality that we're already there before we get there. Hallelujah to God. Thank you, Jesus. The same way. And he thought it so necessary to say, this is how this all works. I'm there. I'm there. He wasn't having an out-of-body. There is a literal out-of-body experience. Now, let's differentiate. Paul had one of those. As far as I can ascertain in 2 Corinthians 12, that was an out-of-body experience where his spirit left his body. I'm not talking about out-of-body where your spirit actually leaves your body. I'm talking about a connection with heaven that takes place while your spirit is still in your body, like Jesus is standing there talking to Nicodemus, but he's so taken by heaven, he's so invigorated by heaven, is that he can stand on earth, talk to a man, and yet testify to him in all truth that he is seated with the Father in a heavenly places in his new nature. And I say, praise God for that. Hallelujah. Praise God for that. Now, understanding that, looking one more time at that verse that we read last in Revelation. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Are you getting something? Hallelujah. He said in verse 14, blessed are they that do His commandments, and they have the right to the tree of life, that they may enter in through the gates into that city. That is our physical, glorified bodies, our spirits wrapped in a glorified body, entering into that physical city in the age to come. For he says without, now these are going to be pronounced without. They're going to be forever incarcerated. But let's look at it present tense. If I am seated, if these are cursed now for that time which is to come, and it says without are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, list all those and those who make a lie. See, this is what you've got to understand, and this is what you do, and this is what I do, but yet it's so important for us to remind ourselves continually. Like tonight, heaven touched us, as it often does. We applied ourselves, and the Holy Spirit took us into that place. Now, I know that what we're actually teaching here is to develop a consciousness of that, and that's a life. That's a continual life's journey, is to develop that consciousness in the best and worst of times. You realize it the most under the anointing, presently, where that you know that you can't describe, but you know that heaven has come down, or that you've gone to heaven and that you're really there. You really feel that presence. And everything that we read that is ornamented, that's beautiful, that is so beautiful about that city, Jesus, through Paul, said, you're there already. Now, most of the church, or maybe I shouldn't say most of the church, let's say in generality, much of the church lives and dies and never goes there. I'm talking about an active place. I mean, call it what you want. We can call it intimacy and spiritual worship. Presence. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus lived in it, and He lived in it in such a source of reality that He was telling a man that had no new nature as of yet, the one that you will follow in the days ahead is the one that you're speaking to. But the reason why I can give you all this is because I have a new nature. I'm the one you're going to follow. I'm there already. I'm seated with the Father. And everybody that's going to follow me is supposed to learn this reality. In other words, we're supposed to make this journey on a continual basis. This is our place. If Paul said we are seated together with Him in heavenly places, the enemy will do everything that he possibly... Let me tell you what is prophetic about this word tonight. Without... Outside, just outside of the perimeter of where you and I are asked to come to. Because we're asked to come to this place. It's a reality, but it's not a realized reality. In other words, it's not real to you unless you pursue it. You won't go to heaven in your spirit on a continual basis, two or three times a week, or perhaps every day if you're ambitious. You won't go to that place unless there's an application on your part, unless you're you're pursuing it, and God wants you there so much. He wants you into that place where you say, I've visited heaven. I'm not trying to be spooky spiritual. I'm not trying to be impressive. But if you want to know, I've visited heaven. I've sat in His presence and there's been an invasion. How the Holy Spirit does that, I don't know. I know He does it. I know that when Paul said we are seated together with Him in heavenly places, he did not say that we are seated in a spiritual place or that the Holy Spirit endows us with a measure of glory. He could have made it descriptive in a lot of different ways. He said in a heavenly place. All of heaven, all the attributes of that beautiful city are given to us to visit in our spirits through worship and through adoration and through the measures of His Word on a continual basis. But here's the prophetic part. This is what we've got to understand. As in the days to come, there will be a chopping off, denouncing or placing in continual punishment that spirit that made a lie. That made a lie. In other words, it perverted all of humanity. It says these things are without the gate. But let me tell you something. They're without the gate right now. Even as there's a continual place of that you're to visit, that you're invited to visit, there's also without the gate, outside of this realm of you visiting, there's also this great shroud of, and I'm not talking about people, I'm talking about a spirit of, what does it say? Remind me. I'm right there. How does it list it? Without are dogs, sorcerers, all these things that defile, whoremongers, murderers, adulterers, whatsoever maketh lie. Your intimacy with heaven is shrouded by that which is without the gate. Now you're seated with Him in heavenly places. All right. Colossians says you're dead. Praise God. I'm glad to hear that. Because sometimes I feel alive. I'm talking about my flesh. But it's pronounced you dead, and it said your life is hid with Christ in God. So that's where I make my stand. Here's encouragement. If you decide, which I think I know I'm speaking to revivalists in here tonight. When you decide to make this journey into heaven, when you decide to make this journey into glory on a continual basis, you've got to also know that what is shrouding the gates, see, you're in there, but the realization for you to be in there, you're already in there, you're already seated with Him inside that city, in that heavenly place, but for you to realize it, you've got to choose to go there on a continual basis. Another message on prayer, per se. But as you choose to go there, understand this. What will continually fight you, what it is that's fighting you getting into a continuous life of prayer, what fights you with dry seasons, what fights you with, it will not be uncontested if you understand that without, just outside of that place of glory, glory is here, it's over there. He says I'm there, so I have to be there. But on the outside of glory, you entering in are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers. He's not talking about people here. Those are the ones that followed those spirits will be incarcerated. But those spirits will be in. But present tense, what we cannot see right now, He wants us to go into that place. And what fights us and what shrouds that place is a continual combatant. It's a continual place. So when you start this journey, if you understand this on a continual process of your heart and saying, look, there's two things going to happen. One, the more I go into this place, which is a heavenly place, grace will increase in my life. Spiritual maturity. I'll grow stronger than ever before. But I also understand this. Outside of these gates are dogs, whoremongers. It is, if you can see it this way, and I'll close in just a minute, but if you can see it this way, they are, you know, what they're the picket line. They are the picket line outside of the glory that you're to visit every day. And if you don't get past the picket line, if you don't get past that which is contesting, that which is outside of the gate, you're going to go to heaven, but you're going to live like so much of the rest of the body of Christ who never visits that place. And if you don't visit that place, you have nothing to bring back. And if you have nothing to bring back, then even trying to go there periodically will make you more miserable if you don't go past the picket line, if you don't go past the place where these things are contesting. Oftentimes I find myself, for whatever reason, I'm bowing down in prayer with a barrage against my soul and saying, God, without, I hear myself. I just know that scripture, and I didn't rehearse that scripture. I hear myself saying, God, without, just outside of your glory are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers. I know that what I'm facing today is contesting me going in there. It's contesting me. It doesn't want me in there. It doesn't want me believing that I belong in there. It doesn't want me to believe that He wants me in there. It doesn't want me believing that He's got something for me as a son or daughter in intimacy. Do you know the Holy Ghost wants to talk to you so intricately about your life that you go away with a description every day of how the success of this day is supposed to turn out? But without, just outside of the gates of this city, is a picket line. It is dogs, sorcerers. It is all those evil spirits that are contesting and saying, we're not going to let you in there. See, they're going to protect revival. They're protecting that place. Not as an ambition of that we love that place. Not as shining armors of knights protecting around. They're protecting that place from you getting there. From you visiting there. The only thing is they don't have the final say-so. Hallelujah. We have the final say-so. With tenacity, with persistence, with a belief in God that we are seated with Him in heavenly places, so that when we bow our knee and there's a whole lot of hell coming against you and the picket line just with outside of the glory. See, if you stay outside of this area and fight these guys, they will fight you all the time. They will fight you and fight you and fight you. But you must and I must move past them at a rate in which only the Holy Spirit can move us past. If we contend with them in the flesh and we let them divert us in our attention, these spirits, then we get diverted. We start rabbit trailing and we start trying to do things in our life to accomplish, and then we get miserable, and then we start trying to get, you know, then we'll start saying, well, maybe it's this or maybe it's that would make me happy. What would make you happy is getting past dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, evil spirits that are just outside. They're just outside because you know if you just can break through that picket line, on the other side of it is more glory than you know what to do with. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. How many of you can see that Jesus believed He was there? He just really believed He was there. And he certainly was not trying to encourage or impress a unregenerate man by saying, oh, you're in heaven. No, He's saying, that's where I'm at. That's where my spirit's at. Hallelujah. Father, we just love You tonight. You're so awesome, Jesus. You've given us the right and the privilege as sons and daughters in inheritance. Jesus, there's so much noise right outside of the gates of this city. And this is where the flesh is badgered the most in the noise. But Father, I thank You that You are moving us past. I pray for every individual in here under the sound of My voice. That grace and truth be multiplied to all of us. None of us. Myself, I fall under this and I say, Father, baptize us more with this place of knowing that we can cross these lines, that we can cross these places, Lord, that stand without and contest us going into a place where the glory of God increases in our life till all men look at us and say, they have been with Jesus. So I speak this life over their lives and over their minds and over their bodies. I pray that we will not relent, but we will go in further, faster than we ever have. And we give You all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. Thank You for it, Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did you have a good time? Yes, myself included.